Well, greetings to each of you, and welcome to The Shakedown, a podcast about corrections, for corrections, and by corrections. I am your host, Aaron Dawson. Good to be back with you again. Hope that you are finding these podcasts informative, hopefully interesting. Hopefully it spurred some thoughts, spurred some encouraged you to do some digging on your own. If this is your first time with us, welcome to the podcast. I'd recommend if this is your first time with us, you like what you're hearing, go back and check some of the previous episodes, a variety of topics, variety of interviews, people being interviewed. So hopefully a wealth of information there for you. As we jump into this week's episode, I want to continue the topic that we had spoken about the last 2 weeks, talking about from a supervisor's perspective, providing what it is that our staff need. As I mentioned in previous weeks, as I travel and train and talk to people around the country, it seems like there is a growing trend towards difficulty in keeping people, filling the holes that we have, hiring people, but then once we get them hired, keeping them employed, keeping them a part of our team and our agency and engaged in the career of corrections. And I'm sure there's a host of reasons for that, and probably lots of people have different opinions about that. But one of the things that I think is absolutely foundational and crucial to the success of any agency and their staffing is the supervisors having a right mindset of providing what it is that their staff needs. You know, when we talk about the minutiae, the details of everyday life in a jail, those simple tasks, those are our staff's responsibility. Those are the line officers' responsibility. For a supervisor, my responsibility is those line officers and providing them what it is that they need. And the last two episodes, we've talked about the basics of providing those basics for our staff. And we talked about making sure that they have the information and the expectations. They know what it is that is expected of them and what they need to do to succeed and have the information on how to succeed. We talked about making sure that, yes, we confront and deal with the issues, but that we also offer words of encouragement when they are doing what it is that we've asked them to do, when they're following policy and procedure, recognizing that and saying, hey, I just want you to know I appreciate what you're doing there and how you're doing it. We talked about making sure that when we confront and we address things, that the level of intensity with which we address them matches what it is that we're addressing. If everything is a huge deal, that's going to be a problem. That's going to create an environment of anxiety. And then we finally talked about the importance of transparency, making sure that what we expect from them, that we also hold ourselves to that same standard. What I want to talk about this week is the routine and the benefits of a routine. Now, as corrections professionals, our facilities, our inmates, our officers, we thrive on routine. When we come into work every shift, we have in our mind what it's supposed to look like. And a lot of that probably is determined by, what it's always been like. We have this routine. At this time, we do this, and then we do this, and then we do this. And so we are used to routine. We're used to routine functions like headcount, like visual inspections, like serving meals, like issuing medication, whether it be staff or medical staff. We're used to the routine of escorting inmates up and down the hallways, what the uniforms are supposed to look like, radio traffic, doing transports, responding to codes. All of these functions are routine. It's something that that we do every day, sometimes more often than others, but it's something that we do every day. And we expect, our hope is that those routines, that routine allows everyone to get in a groove, to know what to expect, and to participate in that routine in a way that's conducive for everybody, the success of the agency, the success of the facility, the inmates, the staff, etc. The question is that we need to ask ourselves when we talk about routine is, have we clearly articulated what those functions are supposed to look like? Now, out of the ordinary things are going to happen. No question about it. No question about it. Those out of the ordinary things are going to happen. But if we have mastered the routine functions, if we have, excuse me, our staff has mastered the routine functions, then the exceptions, those out of the ordinary things, they're going to be easier to handle because we're taking care of the routine details. And as I asked before, have we articulated what those routine functions are supposed to look like? For example, if I were to ask you as a supervisor how headcount is done in your facility, you could probably rattle it off step by step. This is what we do. This is how we do headcount. You know, step one is this, step two is this, step three is this, so forth and so on. And if I were to ask you, is that how headcount is being conducted within your facility? You would probably answer, well, yeah, absolutely. That's the way we do headcount. Great. Well, as a warden, I had a situation where I got a phone call from a booking supervisor. And the booking supervisor articulated to me that they had an inmate that needed to go to court. And so they looked in the jail management system. They looked in the computer to see where was this inmate housed. Okay, they found him. So they called that housing unit to let them know that, hey, this inmate needs to be brought to booking so they can be put in restraints and taken to court. Well, when they told the officer, I need inmate so-and-so, and he's housed in and gave the housing unit, I need that inmate brought to booking. The officer in the housing unit responded with, well, he's not in there. Well, the booking supervisor, of course, asked, well, where is he? You know, is he in class? Is he, you know, in medical? Where is he? And they said, I don't know, but he's not in there. Well, the booking supervisor, of course, confused, responded with, well, the computer says he's in there. And the officer in the housing unit said, well, I'm aware of that, but he's not in there. Well, to make a long story short, what it ended up happening was is that the inmate that they were looking for and another inmate in another housing unit, they had just swapped the two housing units. The problem was they hadn't changed it in the computer. Well, it had been that way for 3 days, which means every shift within that facility, within our facility, had done headcount and had missed the fact that these two guys showed on a roster, showed in the computer, that they were in the wrong housing units. So if you had asked me, Warden Dawson, how do y'all do headcount? I'd have articulated the process. And if you'd asked me, is that the way headcount is being done? I would have said, absolutely. But the truth of the matter was, it was not. There were steps that were being skipped. There were corners that were being cut. And that was something we had to address. And when we start talking about these other things that make up our routine, is our expectation of those routines, is it reflected in our training? Is it reflected in our FTO process? Is it reflected in our accountability? Do we hold ourselves, do we hold our staff accountable for doing these routine functions like it was articulated, like they were trained? Are we holding them accountable to do those things like we said they needed to be done? And here's the deal, guys. If we cut corners or we allow corners to be cut, it leaves people not knowing what to expect. Because if today we do it this way and tomorrow, we'll do it this other way. And then the next day, whatever, we'll do it this way. That breeds confusion. Nobody knows who's doing what and how it's supposed to be done. And so they don't know what to expect. So then we come back there and say, well, why didn't you do it like this? Well, because we did it like this yesterday and like this today before. So I really wasn't sure. Or if we cut corners or allow corners to be cut, it conveys to our officers that they get to pick which corners get to be cut and when they get to be cut. So, which means that we will have an expectation that it's being done like this, but it's not. It's going to lead to inconsistencies. Every one of us has come to work and started our shift and we're doing something. You have an inmate that says, well, man, you're the only one that makes me do this, or yours is the only shift that makes us do this or have this or behave like this. You're the only one. Now, are they being honest? Probably not. They're probably just trying to play you. But the point is, when there's inconsistencies, the inmate population doesn't like it because they don't know what to expect. They don't know how to be successful. They don't want you in their hair any more than you want to be in their hair. And so inconsistencies makes it difficult for them to know what do they need to do to make everything work. it causes staff issues because one officer does it this way, another officer does it that way, or one shift does it this way, or another shift does it the other way. And so you have this competition, you have this backbiting, you have this gossiping, you have this negativity in between officers and between shifts. And it leads to missed responsibilities. One of the first things, if you have an injury or you have a suicide attempt or you have an in-custody death, one of the first things you're going to check for and see has, have we been doing what it says in our policies and procedures that we have been doing? And if we discover that some of these things haven't been done, the next question is why? Well, often it's going to be because these routines were not trained, they weren't stressed, and they weren't held accountable. The officers were not held accountable for meeting those routine functions. And so you're going to have some folks, man, they're interested in that. They want to be a part of the big things. You know, they want to be a, they want to go to classes, or they want to be an instructor, or they want to get this certification, or they want to get that certification. They want to be part of the cert team. You know, they want to be part of this. They want to be part of that. And those, that's cool. That's fun. That's awesome. And we want people to be as trained and as equipped and excited about their job as much as possible. But the truth of the matter is, in the long run, over a long period of time, it's not going to be those big things that hang us up and make us liable in court. It's not going to be those big things that cause us the most headaches. It's not going to be the big things that cause the most frustration and cause people to grow overly anxious or grow burned out and leave. It's going to be the little things. It's going to be the common things that will make or break us. So as supervisors, what is it that our officers need? They need for us to articulate the routine. This is what it is. And if I'm a supervisor, a frontline supervisor, or a shift supervisor, I need to make sure that the routines I'm requiring match up with the routines that the agency is requiring. I can't be a lone ranger and do my own thing in violation of you know, the agency's policy. I need to make sure that I line up with what the agency is saying. So we need to be very clear in our articulation. These are the routines. We need to make sure our people understand them. Not just throw out a bunch of jail lingo about this or that, but no, do they understand what that looks like? It may mean that I or you as a supervisor need to go back there and we need to do headcount with that officer standing beside us. And we go through the process and do headcount so they see what it is that needs to be done. Serving food, whatever the case may be, we need to make sure we articulate it. We need to make sure that we verify that they know what it is that they are doing. They know how to perform these routine functions. And then lastly, we need to, we need to hold our officers accountable when they are not meeting the routine. Now that goes back to that level of intensity. When we notice that there are routine functions that aren't being performed like they were told, okay, why? Was there a unique set of circumstances that caused this situation to be done differently? Was this a matter of, you know, this was happening and so they weren't able to do their normal routine? Was it just an unforeseen weird circumstance? Was it they didn't understand? Was it laziness? Was it apathy? What was it that, why was it that the routine function was not done correctly? And then once we have that answer, now we know how to respond. Now we know whether this is a big deal or this is a little deal. We know how to respond to the situation. But our officers need from us as supervisors, they need for us to show and to provide the routine. This is the environment in which you can be successful. If you do these things well and you do these things consistently, we as a shift, we as a squad, we as an agency, we are going to be successful. Well, guys, I hope this information, again, is helpful to you, encouraging to you. I hope it spurs up some thoughts. But most importantly, guys, I hope it makes us think, okay, as a supervisor, what am I providing? What am I providing to my officers? Well, guys, good to be with you this week. Lord willing, I want to continue this conversation, talking about supervisors next week, and continue to talk about what it is that our officers need. But in the meantime, guys, stay sharp, stay safe, stay vigilant. Godspeed.